look much better. Absolutely. Maureen Dillon and Rachel Vosper, thank you both very much indeed for being with us. And now the final episode of the serial, The Tenant of Wildfell Hall by Anne Bronte. Now that Helen Graham has left Wildfell Hall, Gilbert Markham, still very much besotted with her, is desperate for any news of her well-being.
Helen had returned to her estranged husband, Arthur Huntington, to nurse him. Left behind, I waited for news. To my shame, I even wished that he would die. Her letters to her brother continued, and out of pity, perhaps, for his friend, Lawrence continued to let me read.
Huntington is decidedly better, but very low from the effect of his illness. The doctor says he may be considered out of danger, so long as he observes the necessary restrictions. I watch and restrain him as well as I can. Sometimes I am bitterly abused for my severity.
Oh, this is water! What are you trying to do, woman? Poison me?
At other times, he depresses me with his abject self-abasement when he knows he has gone too far.
I'm dirt. I'm not worthy to look at you. I don't know why you don't leave me like everybody else.
But what annoys me most is his occasional attempt at affection, which I can neither credit nor return. I do not hate him. His suffering and my care for him have given him some claim to my regard. But if only he would be content to let things remain as they truly are.
Helen. What do you mean to do when I am well? Will you run away again?
It depends on your conduct.
Oh, I'll be very good.
But if I find it necessary to leave you, Arthur, this time I shall not run away. I have your written promise, remember? That I can go whenever I choose and take my son, too.
Can you not forgive me?
I have forgiven you. But I know you cannot love me. And it's for the best, because I cannot pretend to return it.
Is there someone else you love? I see.
Here, eat.
I used to be loved by so many. And now look at me. Stuck here with the coldest woman in the world. And grateful for the tiniest scrap of kindness she throws at me.
A further fortnight passed, and still there was no sign of Helen at Wildfell Hall.
Lawrence! You heard any more?
A little.
Well, how is she?
Whatever the nature of the friendship you two shared, it must be over. Here, you may as well read.
There has been a serious relapse in Huntington's illness, entirely caused by his refusal to give up stimulating drink.
I will not be treated like a baby. I should have been well long ago if it wasn't for you.
Drink.
Don't give me water. Give me wine.
It will make you worse.
It makes me better. You just want to keep me weak.
That is not true, and you know it.
A small glass.
There.
Don't add water. Oh, you're mighty attentive now. I suppose there's nothing you wouldn't do for me. Are you mighty attentive to him too?
Do you mean our son?
I mean the man you love.
I'm willing to do anything I can to relieve you.
Yes. Now, my immaculate angel. But once you find yourself safe in heaven and me howling in hellfire, you'll not so much as dip the tip of your finger in water to cool my tongue.
You are determined that I shall not meet you in heaven.
And what should I do in heaven, I should like to know? It's all a fable. What is God? I can't see him or hear him.
Are you sure, Arthur? Are you quite sure?
It would be rather awkward to be sure. But I'm not going to die yet. I'm having such a fine time. Save me, Helen.
He looked into my face with such imploring eagerness. I could not speak for tears. As the days passed, his malady is fast increasing, and his horror of death is more distressing than his suffering of bodily pain. I hardly ever leave him, except to catch an hour or so of sleep when he is quiet. But even then, the door is left ajar, so that he knows I am within call.
Helen! Helen!
There has been a sudden change.
It's gone. I feel better.
Are you sure? Let me fill your head.
Not so happy now. I am recovering. Pour me wine.
No. Arthur, I am worried. I am worried. This is a new stage.
I'm not getting better. That's the first time you've kissed me since you left.
In the last few hours, my worst fears have come true. There is no hope. No words can describe his anguish.
I don't want to die, Helen. Don't let go of my hand. Don't stop looking at me.
He keeps me night and day beside him. He is holding my left hand as I write.
You won't run back to him?
No.
I'm safe as long as you're here.
Will you let me send for the priest?
Oh, it's too late.
But if you repent...
I can't repent. I'm only afraid. I'm sorry that I wronged you, though. Out of all of them, you were kind.
He cannot linger long. He suffers dreadfully. He clings to me with an earnestness desperate to my soul, because I know I cannot help him.
Dying is so awful. I can't bear it. And when I'm buried, you'll return to your old ways and be as happy as ever, as if I had never lived, while I'll be rotting in the ground. Pray for me, Helen.
I do. Every hour and every minute, but you must pray for yourself, too.
I'm past that, my dear. I stopped loving myself years ago.
He is gone at last. I sat beside him all night, with my hand locked in his, watching the changes of his features and listening to his failing breath. No one can imagine the miseries of that deathbed. His body will be consigned on Thursday to the dark grave he so much dreaded.
It would be months before I heard of her again. We will turn now to a certain cold, cloudy afternoon at the beginning of December, when the first fall of snow lay thinly scattered over the blighted fields and frozen roads.
Gilbert!
I was returning to the farm when the once so bewitching Eliza Millwood called me to her side.
I have a little bit of news, if you haven't heard it already. Do you know why Mr. Lawrence has gone away?
Is he gone?
So he hasn't told you about his sister.
What's happened now?
How you tremble, Gilbert. You still haven't forgotten her, I see. But you better had, now that she's to be married.
Married? She can't. She wouldn't.
Oh, I only tell you what I heard. I did hear a name of the gentleman too, but I've forgotten. Perhaps you know. I believe it was someone who lived nearby.
Oh, Hargrave.
Hargrave, that's the one. I knew you'd remember. Look at you. So pale. Did you think you'd marry her yourself? You're a simple farmer, Gilbert Markham. You belong to the land. Why would she want you?
She could not marry Hargrave. For once, Eliza was right. Knowing me to be no more than a farmer, her brother had persuaded her I was false. If I did not get to Grassdale, even as she entered the church door, she and I might lament it to the latest moment of our lives. That night, there came a heavy fall of snow, which so delayed the progress of the coach I was almost driven to distraction. By the time I alighted near Grassdale, there was no postchaise to be had. The distance was little more than 6 miles, but the road was new to me, and I often lost my way. As I approached the little rural church, train of carriages stood outside. One was already leaving. I was too late. Forth came the bride and bridegroom. I grasped the gatepost for support. I did not wish to shock her with my presence, but I had not the power to move away.
Markham!
Lawrence?
What are you doing here?
Where's Helen?
Allow me to introduce my bride, Esther, late Miss Hargrave. She was a friend of my sister. Esther, this is my good friend, Gilbert Markham.
Mr. Markham?
Helen's not married.
Helen? No.
Where is she?
Well, she's just gone. She's on her way back to Grassdale. She leaves tomorrow for the continent.
Where are you going?
Nowhere. Congratulations!
Here, at last, stood the house I had imagined without ever seeing it. In my mind, I had seen every room. I had lived every inch of it through Helen's journal. And yet it was far bigger than I had ever pictured. Far more beautiful. She was now mistress of all this. And who was I? What was I? I would leave at once. She should never know that I had come, that I loved her still. Her longed-for peace would not be broken by my presence. I moved, and then looked back. For one last view of Grassdale. A few steps more, and it would be over forever. While Arthur screamed to the footman to let him out, a hand was silently put forth from the carriage window. I knew that hand, though a black glove disguised its delicate whiteness.
Well, were you coming to see us? Or were you passing by?
I came to see the place. I'm going now.
Well, will you not come in?
I couldn't. I have business to attend to. Back at the farm, Mrs. Huntington.
Ah, business.
Mr. Markham, do you remember me?
Very well, little man.
Haven't I grown?
You'll be as tall as me soon.
Tell me how you all are at home. Has anything happened since I left?
Nothing.
Nobody dead?
No.
Nobody married?
No.
No old friends forgotten or supplanted?
Nobody's been forgotten.
Why won't you come with us? I can show you my house.
Show Mr. Markham how fast you are.
Mr. Markham, watch me!
He's growing up, Mrs. Huntington.
Gilbert, what's the matter? Why can't you call me Helen? Why are you so changed?
I haven't changed. I wish I had, but I'm the same.
Do you mean that you have the same regard for me that you had when we last met?
I do. But it would be wrong to talk of it now.
It was wrong to talk of it then. It would not be now. Unless it was no longer true.
Look at me, Mr. Markham!
How are you, Helen?
Getting better, Gilbert.
Would you give me your hand if I asked it? Helen?
We were married on a glorious August morning. I need not tell you how happily my Helen and I lived and loved together, and how blessed we are in each other's society. We have Arthur, and we have children of our own. He calls me Gilbert. They call me Papa. I am happy.
Ah, don't you love a happy ending? I have a message from Betsy, who says, one of the best things I've ever done was to move into a council estate in Berwick. The street I live in has children playing outside all the time. People congregate in the road and talk. They know each other, keep an eye out, help each other. It's mixed with regard to age and ownership and feels wonderfully old-fashioned in the best way. It seems to me that being private is very like being isolated. So glad I live here. Bye-bye.
And Woman's Hour was presented by Jenny Murray. The producer was Cecile Wright. Books on the BBC. The Tenant of Wildfell Hall was written by Anne Bronte and dramatised by Rachel Joyce. And in which Gilbert was played by Robert Lonsdale. Helen by Hattie Morahan. Huntington by Leo Bill. Arthur by Samuel Britcher. Mr. Lawrence by Carl Prekop. And Mrs. Markham by Carolyn Pickles. Eliza was played by Victoria Inez Hardy, Rose by Leah Brotherhead, Mr. Hargrave by Stephen Critchlow, the Reverend Millwood by Gerard McDermott, Annabella by Emerald O'Hanrahan, Mrs. Maxwell by Tracy Wiles, Mr. Boreham by James Lely, Lord Loughborough by Chris Webster, and Miss Myers by Alex River. And the director was David Hunter.
Beethoven's had more influence on me than any other single artist. Forming my temperament, giving it a certain set direction, one which it was very inclined to take.
BBC Radio 4 celebrates the life and work of Ted Hughes.
I kill where I please because it is all mine. There is no sophistry in my body. My manners are tearing off heads, the allotment of death.
Melvin Bragg presents Ted Hughes, Memorial Tones, on BBC Radio 4, tomorrow night at 8 o'clock.